to the members of the Bureau and to the co-chairs of the Rio Plus 20 conference, Mr. John Ash and Mr. Kim Sook, respectively, ambassadors of Antigua and Barbuda and the Republic of Korea, for their tireless efforts to present at Rio an equitable, balanced draft document reflecting the diverse opinions and interests of our international communities. The international community confronts today many challenges. The international monthly dimensional crisis, be it financial, economic, food, climate, which continue to take root and to propagate from day in, day out. Today, these more than ever require active solidarity, consistent solidarity among the UN members. Multilateralism gives us, in that regard, an undoubted negotiating force. The UN members won't be in a strong position to negotiate the financial, trade, agricultural, environmental interests other than in a multilateral framework which can preserve the interests both of the developing countries, respond to the urgent economic needs of the LDCs without losing sight of the survival of these SIDs, which have been gravely threatened by the devastating effects of climate change. Along those lines, Morocco voices its wish for the political declaration for Rio 20 should reflect all the concerns of the developing countries, in particular when it comes to implementation, the required implementation for building a new green economic regime by consolidating environmental international framework which would give favour to political morals and financial resources. Effectively establishing a green economy requires undoubtedly a renewed political commitment from our developed partners able to strengthen the efficiency of the UN system when it comes to sustainable development. If the future advent of a green and blue economic regime requires additional financial resources for the developing countries, the LDCs, as well as the SIDs, it's equally true that establishing a green economy should not be considered as a factor of negating the financial commitments of the developed countries towards the developing countries in terms of ODA. Using the green economy as well as the blue economy should not be used for protectionist purposes. The green economy should rather remedy the detrimental effects of the regime for the intellectual property regime to facilitate transfer of technologies to the developing countries. The green economy should not ignore its social dimension. It should be a way of counteracting poverty by further reducing social inequalities. In that framework, it should also be considered as a source of job creation. Finally, the green economy should be viewed as a vigilant alternative. The new green economic regime should promote the principle of common differentiated responsibilities. The green economy should not compromise economic growth and social development in the developing countries. In sum, the green economy, as well as the blue economy, remain an appropriate model for intensifying synergies between international environmental conventions. In institutional terms, the UN Conference on Sustainable Development, Rio Plus 20, should be an opportunity, a timely opportunity, to consider the creation of a Sustainable Development Council, as well as for initiating structural reforms concerning not just the UN, not just concerning UNEP, but also ECOSOC and the Commission on Sustainable Development. Rio should be an opportunity to debate the issue of environmental governance, which remains subordinate to strengthening the coherence of the international institutions working in the field of sustainable development. So, the success of Rio Plus 20 remains linked to identifying a working framework focused on the draft integration project of the three fundamental pillars of the green economy, social and environment. The economic context internationally should be an opportunity to be seized to further rebalance these three pillars while centering more on the environmental aspect, which has not received as much attention over the recent decades compared to the other traditional pillars. When it comes to climate change, there is a need to point out that the 17th Conference of the Parties was able to take a number of important decisions to set the stage for a future conclusion of a legally binding climate agreement. However, numerous questions remain pending in the expectation of COP plus 18 in Doha in 2012. The decision of a new period of engagement for the developed countries regarding the Kyoto Protocol remains imprecise still. Is it 5 years or 8 years? Big question mark. The new multilateral climate regime for 2020 should respond in that regard to the concerns of the developing countries, the issue of equity of respective capacities, and the common differentiated responsibilities in that context remain a vital goal for the developing countries. Sir, like the developed countries, Morocco voices its wish that the Rio+20 draft declaration includes in one of its sections the various concerns of the LDCs and of the SIDS. Morocco shares the particular concerns of these groups and supports all multilateral efforts by the UN to assist the SIDS and LDCs in their economic and environmental reforms. In that regard, Morocco expresses its support to the working group and consolidation of the process of the immediate graduation of the LDCs. That working group, which was created at the request of the President of the General Assembly, Mr. Nasser Abdulaziz Nasser, in line with Resolution 7013 on the latest LDC conference adopted on 22nd September 2011. Morocco hopes that by 2020, half of the LDCs will graduate as scheduled by the Istanbul Plan of Action adopted in May 2011. Sir, Morocco voices its wish for the Rio+20 political declaration to enable us very soon to undertake profound reforms able to harmonise further the UN architecture in the field of sustainable development, an architecture which will assist, catered to the green ambitions of the developing countries. I thank you.
Thank you. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Colombia.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon to everybody. First of all, my delegation aligns itself with what was said by the distinguished representative of Algeria on behalf of the G77. We, as previous speakers, would like to thank the efforts that have been made and which are reflected in the documents submitted to us by the Secretariat and the co-chairs, and we'd like to thank you for this work. We believe that it's a good basis for negotiations. Colombia has considerable ambitions for the Rio conference. We believe that it is a decisive step, and our people and communities are expecting ambition and leadership. Colombia, with the support of the governments of Guatemala and Peru, have launched the proposal of the Sustainable Development Goals. Today, we can say that this proposal is being seen as an initiative which is enjoying increasing support, and Colombia would like to thank once again those governments that have submitted this concept and which has been included in the country presentations and has also been referred to in the discussions today. Nevertheless, Chairman, as Colombia has repeated on many occasions, the proposal is a proposal that we need to build on together. Therefore, Colombia has undertaken informal consultations with a view to allow us all to understand the proposal and how we can build on the proposal. The most recent informal consultations that we had took place over recent days. and with your good offices and with the agreement between the participants, I would like to submit to you a brief summary this afternoon of the theme that we discussed during this discussions. During the retreat, if you will allow me, I will move into English.
Retreat was an opportunity for intellectual exchange and did not attempt in any way or manner to influence the negotiations. We all considered that it was important to have spaces, to have opportunities for an open and wide diverse exchange of views, as I said earlier, so we can all come to a better understanding of what the proposal is about. I would say that the main conclusions of the retreat, and this echoes what I said in the closing session, is that the Rio conference marks indeed a very key milestone that demands a very high level of ambition with concrete and decisive outcomes. And one of these outcomes could be the Sustainable Development Goals or SDGs. Another important area of convergence is the fact that there should be a single process towards the definition of the post-2015 framework. Within this framework, we would have a single set of international development goals with sustainable development as a focus. These SDGs would be further developed and developed within that process. There was also, Mr. Chair, a clear sense that the SDGs have added value and would therefore have a bring much to the table as a concrete result coming out of the June conference. It was therefore considered useful in the context of the zero draft to consider the inclusion of a series of characteristics of the SDGs on which there was considerable convergence. There were many of these, and I will outline in the interest of brevity what some of the most salient. The first one is that it is universal. The MDGs had a particular focus and targeted a given group of countries, but the SDGs will be universal. They will hark back to the understanding that we are a global community facing global problems and that we need to work together to build upon this. Therefore, the SDGs are also a very key element as a platform for cooperation among all nations. It was also understood that although the SDGs will be universal, their application is national and will need to be contextualized and adapted to the realities and priorities of each country. Precisely because the priority is implementation. So if there's an adjective that can characterize them, it would be action-oriented. Action-oriented implementation. This is what I think everybody wants to see, what they expect us, all of us, to deliver in Rio. There was also wide agreement that poverty eradication would not be simply an SDG. It is the overarching, the mother lode, the absolute objective to which all the SDGs must contribute. Everything should be geared towards reducing and indeed eliminating poverty. Very importantly, it was felt that the SDGs were a vehicle for integrating the three dimensions. We have heard so many discussions here and interventions and elsewhere about the need to integrate the three dimensions. And I would say I talk about dimensions and not pillars. But how we do this needs a focus and needs a target. And that's something that the SDGs can be a very key and unique vehicle for. And last but not least, very importantly, that they be few in numbers. Part of the richness of the MDGs and their success is because there were few MDGs. So we want to make sure that we identify a very, very discrete set of SDGs that will have high visibility, that will have, if I can put it that way, a big bang. In addition, however, to defining the SDGs, it was also agreed that it would be absolutely fundamental to identify the cross-cutting issues and the understanding that the cross-cutting issues are as important as the SDGs and in a way more important because they are cross-cutting, indeed affect and relevant to all of the SDGs. And some of these cross-cutting issues could be, for example, the strengthening of diverse capacities, technology transfers for achieving specific objectives, and something as cross-cutting as the climate change phenomenon. In addition to discussing the nature and scope of the SDGs, our discussions focused very fruitfully on a discussion of what could be achieved between now and June, and the understanding that what we can and cannot achieve will also influence the mandate coming out of Rio. On this front, I have to report, Mr. Chair, that the discussions were wide and diverse, and there is no convergence of views, but we now better understand what some of the different options on the table are, and that was the objective of the retreat. Some delegations considered that given the complexity and transcendence of the objectives, it would be important to launch a judicious and lengthier process.
I would appreciate if you could wrap up soon.
Okay, certainly, sir. That it would be necessary to launch a process in Rio to develop post-Rio the SDGs. There were other countries, among which include Colombia, that call for adoption of the SDGs, identification of the SDGs prior to the June conference, in the understanding that some of the issues are very obvious and on the table, and we can already work on them after Rio and their further development. Mr. Chair, we also would say that there's a third option on the table, which was to not select all of the SDGs, but to identify one or two that could be sort of taken for a test drive post-Rio, so that we can better understand what the SDGs are about. One of the important aspects is that we understood that the richness of the discussion should be continued, and it is the heartfelt sense of Colombia and all the other delegations that were there that it would be good to continue the discussion here with everybody participating. It was impossible to have all the delegations there, but all the delegations should be part of this discussion, and we would look for your guidance and the guidance of the Secretariat and the Bureau as to how this might be achieved and how this might be possible. Mr. Chair, in closing, I would just like to take this opportunity to invite all countries to informal consultations in Nairobi that Colombia will be hosting on the 19th of February, and to a side event that we will be hosting also on the 22nd of February in Nairobi. And we look forward to further engaging and working with all the delegations here present to develop this proposal. Thank you very much.
I thank you for your presentation. And now I give the floor to the distinguished representative of Solomon Islands.
Thank you, our co-chairs. My delegation thanks the co-chairs and members of the Bureau for providing us with a zero draft outcome document for this Rio Plus Trading Conference. My delegation, associated with the statements by G77 and China, LDCs, AOSIS, PCID Pacific Forum, and would like to make a few comments on the text in our national capacity. We see the zero draft as a good basis for negotiations. Some positive initiatives have been made but need improvement in areas throughout the text to ensure the outcome is balanced and action-oriented with clear commitments to further implement Agenda 21. Co-chairs, global community is facing some of the most serious challenges of our time in addressing sustainable development to eradicate poverty and hunger. Continuing impacts of the current multiple crises, from financial, energy, food to climate change, continue to disproportionately affect many of the most vulnerable populations and countries such as LDCs and CIS. There must be a sense of urgency to these challenges such as climate change, which is a threat multiplier. The lack of multilateral action on climate change until 2020 will see more conflicts emerge over land, water and food resources. Conflict measures, mechanisms, tools and commitments must be part of the outcome document to effectively implement sustainable development, to eradicate poverty and hunger, promote economic growth, social equality, environmental sustainability to maintain the health of our planet. The Rio principles must remain the cornerstone for sustainable development cooperation. Co-chairs, need for balance in the three pillars of sustainable development in the entire text. To ensure concrete actions with clarity and predictability and commitments on the means of implementation in the framework of action, we suggest some reflections and a commitment to oceans and marine resources in the first two parts of the zero draft. Co-chairs, the Rio Plus 20 conference is a renewal of political commitments on sustainable development. A business-as-usual approach will continue to undermine the future of multilateralism. This need for strengthening international cooperation to ensure all have the capacity to implement sustainable development with clear mechanisms and capacity building, financing, transfer of technology in a collective effort to reverse current unsustainable patterns of consumption and production that is putting pressure on our finite resources. Co-chairs, the role of the state in engagement of other major groups should be supported to ensure that global framework on sustainable development is effectively implemented at a national level for all countries, especially vulnerable countries such as LDCs, SIDS, and Africa. The green economy approach will urge it must not impose burdensome conditionalities that further aggravate vulnerable countries' abilities to eradicate poverty and hunger to meet the MDGs. We suggest guidelines provided on the transitional process to green economy to include a means of implementation to be sufficiently addressed, especially an international commitment for action. In this regard, clarity on the role of the private sector in relation to financing, capacity building and technology transfer for sustainable development. Strengthening the capacity and ability of countries most lacking to meet the MDGs is critical in the implementation of the sustainable development agenda. The MDGs are the current global agreed goals and efforts being made to strengthen countries' ability to meet these goals. On the institutional framework, any reform of the current institutions must be the objective of effective delivery of development services and sustainable development, not only limited to the UN bodies, but also the IFIs and Bretton Woods institutions, to ensure all actors of the international architecture dealing with sustainable development are taken on board in the implementation of the Rio principles at all levels. This is critical, as without effective coordination of financing for development, Agenda 21 will remain unattainable. Co-chairs, on the structure, we agree with it, except that the framework for actions is fragmented and would like to suggest a single section on this for the entire document. On the process, there's need for clarity on how to proceed for the negotiation on the text in a transparent and comprehensive manner to allow all to contribute to the various parts of the document, knowing how to proceed with the entire process. On the scheduling of meetings, as alluded to by other colleagues, allocate more time to the informals, as the current schedule may not be sufficient to complete the negotiations before the June conference. Sustainable development is of utmost importance, and that all issues of concern by all stakeholders must be adequately addressed and reflected in the outcome document. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Ecuador.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Chairman. Allow me first of all to thank you and the co-chair for the work undertaken in preparing the zero draft. At the same time, I'd like to align myself with the statement made by the permanent representative of Algeria on behalf of the G77 and China. Ecuador has undertaken a national preparatory process, including an assessment of sustainable development over the last 20 years, with particular emphasis over recent years. As you know, Ecuador is the first country in the world whose constitution recognizes the rights of nature and has aligned itself with the Universal Declaration on the Rights of Nature. And we have undertaken a new paradigm of development called Buen Vivir. We've also taken part in regional preparatory meetings for the conference, and it's our honor to be the host of the 18th Forum of Ministers of Environment of Latin America and Caribbean, which aims to assess the experience in implementing Rio 92 and the experience of the region in terms of sustainable development. In this context, our country is making contributions to the zero draft document. In general, the document is insufficient and does not produce a real balance between the various proposals submitted by states, nor does it deal with the issues of main concern for countries in terms of the three pillars of sustainable development. the zero draft does not reflect the ambitions of and objectives of the international community set out in the Rio Joburg conferences, and there's a lack of commitments and specific actions in order to achieve the implementation of those objectives and to ensure a renewed commitment to sustainable development. It does not include the various contributions of G77 and China, which has undertaken considerable analysis and discussion between states, and which was submitted by the agreed date. It does not reflect something which we insisted upon, and that is that we need to have an assessment of the progress, gaps, and shortcomings and difficulties related to implementing Agenda 21 and the various Rio conventions. Only if we have an in-depth assessment of key issues such as food sovereignty, security, health security, poverty alleviation, and the effects of climate change and the economic and financial crisis, can we have a proper document. The document does not reflect the difficulties in terms of the food, climate, and energy crisis and the economic model of development. Nor does it analyze the unsustainable nature of the current development model. This leads us to express our concern with regard to the main direction that the document takes with regard to the green economy. We believe that the main debate at the moment is not further economic growth through the green economy, but limiting production and consumption, which will allow us to address the real problems that we have in terms of achieving sustainable development. We should not aim for expanded growth. We must not maintain the traditional models of growth which have not functioned. We need to discuss how to put limits on growth and the concentration of wealth and what type of limits need to be put on consumption in developed countries. Ecuador considers that we need to look at the proposals with regard to tax on international financial transactions and the daily Correa tax on oil imports by developed countries. This could provide resources for a sustainable development fund. We need to put in place a mechanism with regard to net avoided emissions. One example of this is the Yasuni initiative to leave oil in the ground, and this is something we are going to consider in Rio. Chair, we are also note the fact that the document does not deal with actions aimed at capacity building in developing countries through knowledge transfer and access to common goods and the effective transfer of technology that is safe, new, and innovative. At the same time, throughout the document, we see a worrying focus on the leading role played by private sector and businesses. This could become a platform for the private sector to become the engine of the green economy on the basis of its own financial interests. This weakens the role of the state and cooperation between states and the funding commitments made by developed countries for developing countries. We also express our concern at some themes which are included in the document. These include the conditionalities for developing countries, such as paragraph 30, which talks about structural adjustments that were proposed by the IMF and the World Bank, and which led our country to privatization, reducing the role of the state, and to eliminating health and education policies, and also led to an increase in poverty and inequality. The goals are not set out clearly. We need to have a new global economic order which allows us to combat the concentration of wealth and to change towards sustainable models of consumption and production. We consider that this is the opportunity to work on a legally binding convention for sustainable development, which includes a financing mechanism. Finally, with regard to the discussions of the document, we see that it's not appropriate to split it up into separate parts and deal with it in a piecemeal way. We need to deal with it in an ordered way. And we should seek to ensure that we have a global and integrated document. In order to understand what this conference means, it is sufficient to recall that every 5 seconds an under 10-year-old child dies from hunger. We are on a planet with incredible wealth. John Seegler has said that it could feed 12 billion individuals. These deaths are not no way a fatality, but a demonstration of the failure of the model of consumption that we have. And this we need to deal with in Rio Plus 20 if we want to renew our commitment to sustainable development and work towards global social and environmental justice. Co-chairs, we do hope that these comments and the amendments that we have submitted and will continue to submit during the informal and informal consultations will contribute to achieving the consensus to ensure that this conference and outcome document will meet the challenges, reforms, and commitments that are so urgently required to achieve a genuine sustainable development, eradicate poverty and equality. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, from one of major groups, I give the floor to the distinguished representative of scientific and technological community.
Thank you, Co-Chair. The scientific and technological community worldwide welcomes the zero draft. It is a starting point. However, the final outcome document must be much more ambitious. It must include more concrete commitments which are really commensurate with the urgent need to move humanity to a sustainable path of development. It must include much stronger commitments to bring about the transformational changes needed to eradicate poverty and to bridge the development divide between the North and the South while respecting planetary boundaries. Paragraph 11 should include an explicit reference to planetary boundaries. We welcome paragraphs 52 and 53 on scientific assessments of the state of the planet and on strengthening the science policy interface. However, the zero draft should become much stronger on initiating new unprecedented efforts and commitments of harnessing science, technology and innovation through international cooperation, including for capacity building in developing countries. Our community is proposing language and seeks the support of governments for significantly improving the outcome document to this end, both in Section 3 on the green economy in the context of poverty eradication and sustainable development, and in Section 5C in the paragraphs on science and technology. One concrete proposal which we had made earlier calls for Rio Plus 20 to launch an inclusive process to establish a global mechanism for international scientific cooperation, coordinated research on major sustainable development challenges and capacity building in developing countries. This should build on existing scientific cooperation bodies such as my own, the International Council for Science, and UNESCO. The EU had made a similar proposal in its written submission. We urge governments to consider our proposed amendments to the zero draft in the forthcoming negotiations of the outcome document, as a much stronger science and technology base will be fundamental for moving away from business as usual in sustainable development. Rio Plus 20 must chart a truly different course. Thank you, Co-Chair.
Thank you. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of UNESCO.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is a statement on behalf of UNESCO and its Intergovernmental Oceanographic Commission. UNESCO welcomes the zero draft document and firmly believes that Rio Plus 20 should recognize the critical role of scientific knowledge for sustainable development and make bold recommendations for its future development. This requires increased and sustained investment in science and science capacities across all areas, from fundamental research to engineering. International cooperation in all scientific areas must be encouraged, as well as the development of national sustainable development policies based on robust scientific evidence. UNESCO, the only organization of a UN system with science in its mandate, is committed to playing a key role in this process, in particular through its vast scientific networks in international science programs dealing with ocean, freshwater, ecological sciences, basic science, geoscience, and ethics of science. We also believe that Rio Plus 20 should further emphasize the critical role of education at all levels in building the required skills and human resources needed to achieve sustainable development, including an education for sustainable development, with a view to develop a socially and environmentally responsible global citizenry encompassing sustainable consumption and production patterns of behavior. UNESCO believes that the reorientation of technical and vocational education in training towards green jobs and the green economy should be a major recommendation emerging from Rio Plus 20. UNESCO is also convinced that the media will be critical to enhance public awareness of sustainable development, and therefore ICTs and social networks should be harnessed in favor of sustainable development. This conference should also focus on advancing a human-centered, inclusive, and right-based approach to sustainable development, which should not only build green economies, but green societies, respectful of diversity and gender equality, a world of sustainable cities and peaceful coexistence and respect between cultures and respect for human rights. As such, Rio Plus 20 should also integrate the cultural dimension into the conception, measurement, and practice of sustainable development. Now let me turn to the area of ocean, where the Intergovernmental Oceanographic Commission plays a critical role for international cooperation and coordination. We observe that the draft document is a good basis for developing a framework for action and reflects the proposals contained in the blueprint on ocean and coastal sustainability prepared by IOC, FAO, IMO, and UNDP. We have a few comments on these areas. While we welcome support to the regular process for the Global Marine Assessment as the global mechanism for delivering a scientifically robust assessment for the world's oceans, we would like to reiterate that only a sustained investment of nations in the capacity to research, monitor, and forecast ocean ecosystems will ensure full coverage and credibility. We have a knowledge and observation gap in the ocean that can be closed through international cooperation such as the Global Ocean Observing System. And as such, it is important that nations, as we did in 2002, recommit to support and extend GOES through their national contributions. Furthermore, we strongly support the recognition of ocean acidification as a critical issue that requires urgent attention by the international community. We do believe that an international observing network for ocean acidification integrated within a global ocean system with full participation of all coastal nations will provide the reliable and scientific basis that countries need to plan and adapt. As identified by several member states, we would like to reiterate that capacity development and transfer of technology are a prerequisite for achieving sustainable ocean management goals, and as such, this should be reflected in the outcome document. Finally, Mr. Co-Chair, let me say that we strongly believe that a more efficient and accountable institutional framework for sustainable development needs to address the issue of ocean governance in a comprehensive way. Ocean governance gaps, institutional failures, and problems in implementing global and regional conservation measures, as well as harnessing the expertise of scientific institutions, needs to be addressed. The UNGA review of UN Oceans and the expected Secretary General Ocean Compact should, we believe, identify a number of options for strengthening UN coordination and effectiveness, and therefore should be considered in the framework of this document. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Now I give the floor to the distinguished representative of Nepal.
I thank you, Chair. Mr. Co-Chairs, I deliver this statement in my national capacity as a landlocked mountain.